Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. Residents of numerous Ukrainian cities woke up to explosions today as Russia continues its assault on the country's energy infrastructure. NPR's Nathan Rott reports.
All of Ukraine was under an air raid warning to start the day, and officials reported explosions in a number of western regions, including Rivne and Lutsk, in the south, in the Odessa region, and near the capital, Kyiv. Russia has repeatedly targeted civilian energy and heating infrastructure over the last 2 weeks in an attempt, Ukrainian officials say, to leave millions of people without power and heat as winter approaches. Power outages have been reported in some cities, and energy analysts have been telling us it will be difficult for Ukraine to rebuild infrastructure at the rate it's being hit. Nathan Rott, NPR News, Kryvyi Rih, Ukraine.
The Russian-installed authorities in the Ukrainian city of Kherson are urging residents to leave immediately ahead of an expected advance by Ukrainian forces. The city's been under Russian occupation since shortly after the invasion in February. Former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has cut short a Caribbean vacation, apparently to enter the leadership contest triggered by the resignation of Liz Truss on Thursday. Vicky Barker reports from London.
Boris Johnson's flight touched down amid reports he wants to be the midterm replacement for Liz Truss, herself the midterm replacement for Boris Johnson, who resigned in disgrace in July. Several conservative lawmakers have already threatened to quit if Johnson wins. But supporters, like fellow lawmaker Andrew Stevenson, argue Johnson is the most electable candidate, despite an ongoing ethics investigation that could lead to his dismissal, Stevenson telling the BBC.
I was in my constituency all day yesterday, people saying, we want Boris back.
A new YouGov poll, though, says all of the possible Conservative contenders would lose to opposition Labour leader Keir Starmer if elections were held today. For NPR News, I'm Vicky Barker in London.
The House committee investigating last year's attack on the U.S. Capitol has formally issued a subpoena to former President Donald Trump. It requires that he provide documents and testify under oath. NPR's Ron Elving has more.
Trump is ordered to produce documents on his communications with members of Congress with respect to January 6th and with leaders of the election protests that day. Those are due to Congress by November 4th. Trump is also ordered to appear in person or by video to answer the committee's questions on or about November 14th, possibly for multiple sessions over multiple days. But it is also subject to negotiation and appeal.
NPR's Ron Elving reporting. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. In Uganda, the health minister announced today three people in an isolation unit in the country's capital have tested positive for Ebola, the first confirmed cases in Kampala since the declaration of an outbreak in September. Ishma Fundikwa has more.
Jane Ruth Acheng tweeted that the three individuals were among the dozens of people in an isolation facility at Mulago, Uganda's main hospital. The country's information ministry announced on Friday that the outbreak is under control and should be over by the end of the year. Earlier this month, President Yoweri Museveni declared a 21-day lockdown in Mubende district, where the outbreak started, and the neighboring Kasanda district to stem the outbreak. The raft of measures includes a ban on public and private transport and the closure of places of worship and entertainment. Schools and mines, however, were spared. For NPR News, I am Ish Mafundikwa in Harare.
China's Communist Party wrapped up its Congress today. It approved a new central committee. The roughly 200 top officials in China not included in the list were some pro-reform members, suggesting that President Xi Jinping has further cemented his hold on power. He's expected to be given another five-year term. In Rome today, Giorgia Meloni was sworn in as Italy's first woman prime minister. Her nationalist party, the Brothers of Italy, won election last month, giving Italy its most right-wing government since World War II. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.